Good morning. Welcome to Unity Church, where we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender, identity, or sexual orientation. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you find and keep your balance, a place that nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. We invite you to sign our visitor's book, which is at the welcome table in the cloister by the Portland Avenue entrance, so that we can stay in touch with you. And if you'd like a tour of our church, please meet with Ruth Stryker Gordon after the service in the back of the sanctuary. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is offered on Wednesday, December 5th, and Wednesday, January 9th. If you've already taken the Welcome to Unity class and are seeking a deeper involvement, please sign up for our Finding Yourself at Unity class offered Saturday, January 12th. You can sign up for both of these at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which is an insert in your order of service, which seeks to inform you and which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement. And I want to point out some specific things. You are invited to come to our Wellspring Wednesday program this Wednesday. Dinner is at 6 p.m., followed by a short worship service. At 7:10 p.m., please join us for our Intergenerational Social Justice Night, which will be an evening of work in support for our Center for Victims of Torture. And you'll have a chance to learn about the work of this center and create a small gift for one of the clients of Center for Victims of Torture. Please note that reservations are no longer necessary for Wellspring Wednesday dinner. Just show up. And speaking of food, please consider coming to our pancake breakfast Saturday, December 8th. These monthly pancake breakfasts are held from 8:30 till 10 a.m. and immediately following this breakfast from 10 to 12 noon, Bill Doherty will speak. He will lead a workshop on how we as Unitarian Universalists might reclaim Christmas in a world starved for spiritual depth, balanced living, and human connection. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you may greet one another, peruse our bookstall, and visit the information tables. Both the children's and the Anderson Adult Library will be open following each service, and these are located on the second floor in the Elliott Wing. Next Sunday, the service is entitled Love the Guest, and it will be led by Rob Eller Isaacs. Services are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following the service this morning, Neely and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors.
I no longer play many of the games of my childhood. Calvin Ball, Tag, and Red Robin have been replaced by 9 to 5, What's in the Fridge, and Can I Get Away Without Showering This Morning? There's one game I've kept, however, the lava game. If you're unfamiliar, it's a particularly sick game where lava disguises itself as an innocent fixture of your home, the couch, the floor tiles, the green vines in the rug. And while transversing its tricky boundaries, you do your best to doom your sibling to a quick, fiery death. Jostling on the edge, arguing whether a toe-in is fatal or merely disfiguring. Now I play lava solitaire. Instead of my brother tugging at my legs, I have billboards and commercials. And the lava has gotten smarter. It roams the outside world. That plastic bag? Lava. Those disposable water bottles? Totally lava. My car? Sometimes, regrettably, liquid hot magma. I don't know if there's a winner, but I keep on playing, and it's starting to get fun again. Come, let us worship together. Remain standing and join with me in our unison reading, number 498, in the back of your hymnal. In the quietness of this place, surrounded by the all-pervading presence of the Holy, my heart whispers, keep fresh before me the moments of my heart.
resolve that in good times or in tempests, I may not forget that to which my life is committed. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve.
I invite you to leave the busyness of the week behind you and join me in a time of silence and meditation. Each time we gather for worship, whether in the sanctuary here or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we take a moment to expand the healing, caring circle of compassion we want this church to be. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live in grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen or unseen, for those who live in addiction, for those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with courage and curiosity. May our compassion and care extend beyond these walls to creation itself, to our Mother Earth. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. We now invite you to share the names of those people who you would bring into the embrace of this sacred place. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that are woven into the tapestry of this community. And let us pray. Holy One, source of life and love, be with us now as we would be with one another. As the days grow shorter and the weather grows colder, help us, we pray, to gain a sense of calm in the frenzy of this season. Help us to discover within ourselves a sense of graciousness of spirit that allows us to deepen our love and care for those around us. May the lights of our true selves shine brightly and clearly. That we may illuminate not only our own paths, but the paths of those around us. May the light of compassion beam throughout this community and throw patterns, expanding patterns out into a hurting world. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Will the ushers please come forward? Thanks to your generosity, each week we are able to give away the vast majority of our Sunday offering to organizations that we partner with, both here and throughout the world. This week we partner with Open Arms of Minnesota, an organization that provides nutritious meals to people in medical need, people who are suffering from HIV/AIDS, people who are faced with chronic MS or ALS, people who are undergoing treatment for breast cancer. Open Arms of Minnesota provides these meals to 350 individuals or more every day. They are also involved in work on HIV/AIDS in South Africa. To the work of this church, we dedicate our lives and these our generous offerings.
The Chance to Love Everything by Mary Oliver. All summer I made friends with the creatures nearby. They flowed through the fields and under the tent walls, or padded through the door, grinning with their many teeth, looking for seeds, suet, sugar, muttering and humming, opening the bread box, happiest when there was milk and music. But once in the night, I heard a sound outside the door. The canvas bulged slightly. Something was pressing inward at eye level. I watched, trembling. Sure, I had heard the click of claws, the smack of lips outside my gauzy home. I imagined the red eyes, the broad tongue, the enormous lap. Would it be friendly, too? Fear defeated me. And yet, not in faith and not in madness, but with the courage I thought my dream deserved, I stepped outside. It was gone. Then I whirled at the sound of some shambling tonnage. Did I see a black haunch slipping back through the trees? Did I see the moonlight shining on it? did I actually reach out my arms toward it, toward paradise falling, like the fading of the dearest, wildest hope, the dark heart of the story that is all the reason for its telling.
Love, the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance, for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Ask the questions that have no answers. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. Practice resurrection. Sometimes on Friday mornings, I will bring Kaylee, my little dog, to the office here at Unity Church so she can play with Abby, Duncan Baird's poodle. The two dogs both drop down on their front haunches in that classic let's play stance, and then they tear off in a game of chase around the center room and up and down the halls. Now, when dogs play chase, the fun is in the chase. They switch roles back and forth, chasing and being chased. The game is more important than the winning. Dogs will even handicap themselves, slowing down when they are playing with an older or slower dog so that the game remains fun. For most of us humans, there is a deep vicarious pleasure in watching dogs play. We tap into the simple joy of play and remember that kind of undirected, purposeless activity that only children and sometimes their grandparents are allowed to enjoy in our culture. This kind of play is non-competitive and spontaneous and creative, with rules made up and thrown out at will. But play is more than mere fun. Psychiatrist Stuart Brown has found that play is essential to the development of children. He was able to show that many of the most violent criminals had early lives where parents kept them from any kind of play. This resulted in these people being unable as adults to connect meaningfully with other people, and thus they turned to violent behavior. Play is essential not only to social development, but it also appears to encourage cognitive development and even moral behavior. According to a recent article in Harvard Business Review, neurological research on mammals has identified play as a primary human drive and the brain's source of joy. So I'd like to invite you, if you are willing, into a little time of exploration. The subject of this exploration is hands, your own hands. If you will, take a look at one of your hands. Stretch your fingers out and notice the tendons running along the back of your hand. Turn over your hand and notice the muscles, especially as you begin to close your hand into a ball. Try opening it and notice the beautiful lines and wrinkles in your hand. Make any form. Your hand is so flexible. Make another shape. Don't worry that it's the right shape or that it's the shape I'm making. Make another. Rearrange things. Make another and another. I invite you to make shapes so fast that your mind can't think ahead and you cannot judge whether the shapes are right or wrong. Now make smooth and supple, slow shapes, gentle, slowing down, soft and easy. Thank you. This little exercise came from a program of improvisation and movement called Interplay. Interplay invites people to creatively explore movement and voice and story in a non-threatening way through small exercises like this one, and to build up incrementally into larger creative forms. But I want you to notice for a moment what that little exploration felt like for you. What thoughts and feelings did you have? Whether you participated yourself or observed others around you, I'm sure some of these thoughts or feelings may have come up. I bet some of you may have thought, am I going to look silly in front of my friends and family? This is sure risky. Or you might have thought, can I trust this person who has never spoken in this pulpit until today? Can I trust him not to ask me to do something embarrassing or stupid? After all, isn't he from that flaky seminary in Berkeley? Or you might have thought, I've finally persuaded my out-of-town guests to join me at church. And this is happening? After you told them, don't worry, this is Unity Church, and we don't do those weird things that some other Unitarian Universalist churches sometimes do. So not only was this a little exercise about play and creativity, it was also about risk and trust. Mary Oliver, who is in some way the de facto Unitarian Universalist poet laureate, explores all this risk-taking in its full ambiguity. She describes her encounter with the creatures outside the tent, some shambling tonnage with red eyes and broad tongue. Would it be friendly too? Fear defeated me, and yet, not in faith and not in madness, but with courage I thought my dream deserved, I stepped outside. It was gone. So to play, to explore, to move into that space that creativity requires of us is to take risks. We have to call up a certain kind of courage, not necessarily the courage of life or death, of firemen entering a burning building, or even that moral courage of standing with your principles against an angry crowd, but a more gentle, subtle courage, no less essential. Creative play calls on the courage of being in touch with your body and yourself in all its wholeness, exploring its possibilities and limits. This is the courage that the Interplay Improvisation Program required of me. If you had suggested before I started Interplay that I'd be dancing and storytelling solo before an audience of maybe 100 eyeballs all focused on me, I would have said, "You are dreaming." Yet that's what I did some months ago when I left, before I left California to come out here. The experience was both terrifying and intensely joyful. It was terrifying because I was sure that I would dance badly, and I probably did. I had so many preconceived notions about how this should be done. I should be more prepared for this improv segment. I should make my stories funnier. I should make this piece shorter or longer. A whole cloud of shoulds often murmurs in my head as I step in front of a group. When I am able to transcend those shoulds, then there is the pure joy of spontaneous creative action. Joy, when it comes in these spontaneous ways, is a sweet surprise. But when we try to seek joy as a goal, we can often too easily get focused on things that fulfill the desires and pleasures of the senses. We have a tendency to try to fulfill our need for joy with external material objects and sensations. Many of the contemplative traditions express concern about these sense attachments and selfish desires, and we would do well to pay attention. An old Zen Buddhist poem reminds us or warns us, "Selfish attachment forgets all limits. It always leads us down evil roads." Yet we live in a culture where amplifying these desires through marketing messages is a central part of our approach to commerce, and is becoming a central part of the liturgy of what sociologist Robert Bella calls our civil religion. As Wendell Berry tells us, "Want more of everything ready-made, and you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer." I know this well, these little cards, these drawers. I used to work in product marketing. But we all know this too. Especially at this time of year, we as ordinary consumers feel we barely stand a chance against this onslaught. Our children need body armor against the targeted messaging they receive. And if I'm to believe the paper, soon we'll all be shopping at 2 a.m. in the morning on Black Friday. But then what about the other side? Vocation. Work worth doing, whether that's raising a family or doing a job we love, can be a source of joy. But for many of us, the joy of vocation gets blurred over time. We learn to set aside creative and experimental pleasure that arises from following a vocation we love in favor of the linear, critical path-oriented realm of the competitive workplace. We learn to compartmentalize aspects of our lives, at a minimum to separate work from leisure. We are expected to separate what we truly love from the daily grind that is our working life. Wendell Berry again, we learn to love that quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. When we get focused on these as opposed to doing what we can to make our work, our vocation truly meaningful, we risk being ready to die for profit. This can lead to a feeling of ennui, a sense that what we are doing has no value. When this is identified as a morale problem at the workplace, the problem sometimes gets oversimplified, and the solution becomes not, can we make this work more meaningful, but rather, let's make work more fun. At the last place I worked before entering seminary, we had a well-equipped game room full of classic arcade video games. Now, even though I found time for the occasional game of Space Invaders or Tempest, I remained bothered by the particular juxtaposition of work and play. Now, this may have been because I'm a baby boomer and we're now in a new era, but I think there's something more profound here. The video games seem to be a distraction from what is real, and they did nothing to contribute to a sense of deeper satisfaction, something that should have ideally come from the work itself. I believe it's important for us to be aware of the distinction between the ephemeral pleasures that come from satisfying the senses and the deeper, more integrated joy that comes from action that is aligned with what is important to us, our values, and our deep intention. And Berry reminds us, laugh! Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. When we do that, we tap into that intuitive sense that would lead us, if only we would let it. Then we can be joyful even after considering all the facts. Several years ago, when I lived in Colorado, a good friend of mine, Dave, talked to me for some months about his work with the Network Coffee House. This coffee house was a gathering place for the homeless in Denver, and Dave encouraged me to volunteer there. I finally took the bait, mostly because I had persuaded him to take a committee position at the church, and I felt I owed him one. I must admit there was also a certain amount of ego playing into this, a sense of, yes, I can prove to him that I was up to this. I agreed to work with him on a Wednesday night when he opened the coffee house. My job was simple: serve coffee, empty the ashtrays, and monitor the list of people waiting to take a shower in the shower stall. Mostly I talked and listened to the people who came in as darkness fell. I found myself filled with amazement by the stories of some in this community. Like Harry, a former seaman who loved to recite details of major naval battles. Or John, who had dreams of get-rich-quick schemes and tried to convince me to be a partner of his. And then there was Peggy, a former street person who now works as sort of a Pentecostal street minister. She showed me her Bible that she believes is the literal word of God, except for the large sections crossed out because they don't fit her personal feminist theology. After we closed the coffee house, I said goodnight to Dave, went to my car, sat there and wept. Certainly I wept in pain and despair. I think this despair is familiar to us all, the enormity of the problem of homelessness and how we just can't seem to solve it. And now it was personal. I knew that many of these people I had met would sleep under bridges by the Platte River that cold night. In such situations, I always look for glimmers of hope. St. Francis of Assisi reminds us, where there is despair, so hope. But in this case, it was hard for me to find hope in the current political situation where living on the street is seen as a failure of individual will, and where mental illness and addiction are viewed as character flaws and not diseases. At first, I could not find hope in this. But as I unwrapped the layers of despair, another emotion was enclosed, and this was joy. I had done something, however minor, to begin to bridge the gap. So even though there was great pain for me, at the heart of the pain, I was able to find the joy of connections made, of acquaintances established, which continued over the coming months. Joy, after all, is hope brought into the present. Joy emerges from compassion. It emerges from doing the right thing. It emerges from connections, and it emerges when we act from our human integrity. So even though I went into this for the wrong reasons, it was joyful to discover the real reasons. The joy gave me hope when hope was hard to find. So what brings us joy? How do we know that we are feeling true joy and not merely some sense pleasure or ego boost or satisfaction of desire? We need to be mindful when we find ourselves experiencing an emotion that seems like joy. What is the source? Does it emerge from superficial things, sense pleasures, isolating diversions, or is the source deeper, heartfelt, an awareness that we are in integrity with who we really are? Is our joy emerging out of relationships, whether playful or serious? Is it emerging from creative expression or an encounter with beauty? Is it arising because we are courageously taking the small steps to be who we are called to be? As voices from my Methodist past would say, our hearts are strangely warmed. I now understand this warmth. I know this is the strange and wonderful warmth of joy that emerges from seeking, little by little, an authentic life and living bit by bit a life of integrity. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you.
Dave Barry entreats us to practice resurrection. May we all practice resurrection, rebuilding, rebirth, renewal, repair in ourselves, in our community, and this big, wide, broken, hurting world. May we consider all of the facts and be joyful anyways. Blessed be, and amen.